Good afternoon. Today is Monday, August the 12th, 199th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Eureka Police Chief. Still?
Yeah.
Merle Harpum. Hey, guy.
Hi. it's a Monday.
Yeah, no kidding. It is indeed. This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about the weekend. Boy, it seems like I'm seeing more reports of more activities coming through. So we'll talk a little bit about that.
Because it's happening.
Yeah, well, so we'll get Merle's spin on that, and I'm sure we'll do our best to make this yet another interesting program, because as much as we would like Merle to retire, he keeps coming back here month after month after month. So we'll talk about some of the different things that are bringing him back when we return.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon. Okay, are you listening to a Walkman? Okay, all right. We just got a different headphone going on the other side of the counter there. They're white and they go down instead of the big cans that we're used to seeing. I didn't know if I was boring him to tears already. You know, 2 minutes into the show and he's already checked out. Our quote this afternoon. Oh, let's see if we can find a good one for Merle. There we go. Our quote this afternoon comes from... Well, it's a proverb, Sicilian proverb. The less things change, the more they remain the same.
You okay?
I didn't think we'd lose you. Yeah. Oh, boy. So we heard over the tail end last week that the governor's attempt at having some kind of a new way to get the bad guy number down by the 9,000 or 9,500 or whatever pretty much got shot in the foot.
By the Supreme Court. Right?
By the court, yeah. I guess if you're down, you may as well get kicked twice as well as once. What sense do you have, Merle, as somebody who's seen a lot, as a police chief in an area that certainly has been impacted significantly, and by somebody who has connections throughout the state? Is anybody satisfied with this garbage that's been occurring?
I don't know anybody. In fact, I was really pleased to see all the former living governors of California come out in support of Brown on his effort to stop this.
I think Reagan did too. You just couldn't hear him that well. Yeah.
So it's crazy, and it's certainly harmful to the state and dangerous for people and law enforcement. They have to deal with these guys. For instance, we had one this morning, 7:30 in the morning. I'm sitting at my desk and I hear a pursuit taken off of a stolen vehicle. And the officers are in pursuit and it's going around through down around the mall area and up into the old Eureka Mall area. And it went slow for a period of time there. We trying to get a spike strip out and flatten the tires, and so we had it was like an O.J. Simpson pursuit for a little while, a 10-mile-an-hour pursuit, and the guy bailed out, left the woman that was with him in the car, took off. We chased him. One of the officers tackled him and got him, and he still fought. We had to tase him to get him under control. And turns out, of course, we knew it was a stolen car right off the bat, but he was a wanted parolee violator out of Fresno area. And we're running into these every day, just about. People committing crimes that are on parole or on probation under this, the county's parole board. So it's bizarre.
Fresno?
Yeah.
Why here?
Who knows?
Or too early to know yet.
Yeah. I mean, these people are mobile.
Well, yeah, you keep stealing people's cars. Yeah, yeah. You can go from A to B pretty easy. Yeah. There was one last week that just really kind of stuck in my craw. The one where the 9-year-old baby, or 9-day-old baby.
Right.
And meth, other drug paraphernalia.
Well, the one
is that more?
That,
is that more?
Oh, yeah. The one worse than that was this weekend with the 2-year-old suffering major burns in a burn. He's in a burn clinic in Chico right now. The parents are both burned too, but not nearly as bad as he was. It's right over here. I mean, not very far from you right here.
From the studios?
It's over on Searle Street, right behind the Starbucks on Myrtle.
So we used to hear a lot of those kinds of explosions happening pretty regularly back when meth was being made in the homes.
And, well, that's what was going on.
Then it kind of disappeared. Now are we seeing a resurgence of do-it-yourself instead of the commercial product?
Right. They learn how to do it on the internet, of course. There's all sorts of instructions on how to do it. So anybody who flunked eighth grade chemistry can find out how to make it.
Good, or at least watches TV, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information Times 319. We'll be back with more from Merle Harpin.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. Mark the dates August 14th through the 25th for the 117th annual Humboldt County Fair in Ferndale. Beginning opening day, there'll be 8 days of fast horse racing. Competing beef and dairy cattle, goats, poultry, sheep, and swine will be on display and judged. The flower pavilion will be filled with beautiful plants grown by county gardeners. The art pavilion will have many delights for the eye. And enjoy the judged exhibits of locally made items, from baked goods to hand-spun yarn, with much in between such as decorated potatoes, scarecrows, quilts, rugs, and home brews. There'll be plenty to eat and drink, so you can treat yourself to corn dogs and cotton candy. The commercial exhibits building will feature fascinating products, and of course there's the Ferris wheel and other rides the kids will want to try. For hours and information, call 786-9511. That's 786-9511. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people, places, and things that makes us a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Merle Harpin. Merle, looking at the situation of law enforcement in our region, Mike Downey was on Thursday. He said that he shared that he was going to start looking into the plans with the jail, expanding it back, taking back, I guess, the free parking lot.
Right.
And building it out the way that it was, I guess, initially planned to be until the funding kind of disappeared in the late 90s.
Yeah. I think the plan was courts.
Courts at that end, and then the other, which we would call the administrative end now, would be converted into something else. But is it as simple as in expanding capacity? If you had another 150 rooms you had access to, would that clean this up?
The only thing I could relate to is, if we target the people that need to be in jail that are causing the problems.
Well, your frequent flyers, yeah.
Yeah, we did that with a couple of people here recently where basically all the officers came to me and said, if we can put these two people in jail, we'll probably be making 5 less reports a week, crime reports.
Really? 250 a year?
That's how much crime these guys are committing. So we'll target them. And I made some phone calls, and it ended up that instead of releasing him, the next time we caught him, they kept him in jail, and they're still in jail today. So our crime rate has gone down a little bit. I mean, they were stealing
cars. Did Mike's guys at the jail have to kick out two other guys to make room for him?
That end of it, I don't know, but they did keep him. And that was what we wanted to do. In fact, the sheriff and I have talked about that, and Paul, that if we target some people that are frequent flyers and we can't keep them off the street, then they will target them from their end. So we're doing that. And
well, at least that'll reduce the workload for you guys and the daily exposure for the community. And,
yeah. I mean, between the two of them, they were stealing at least a couple of cars a week.
Now, were these the guys that decided to taking a U-Haul would be a nice...
That's one of them. Exactly. Yep.
You know, when I heard that, I kind of laughed and thought, it's so obvious. It's like, you know, I probably shouldn't say, stealing a fire truck. Yeah. I mean, it's sitting there and it's right there. Nobody's paying any attention to it. Yeah. And why don't we hear about it?
Yeah.
I mean, it just kind of seemed like with all the other weirdness we have, that would have been something that would have surfaced earlier.
Yeah, it's just what happens. I mean, it's a daily thing, you know.
Are we having as many vehicles being stolen from the car lots as used to occur?
I don't think so. No, they're right off the street. They seem to be easier to get that way.
Yeah. So is it for fencing purposes or is it for personal use?
Transportation and, you know, once in a while we'll find them with stuff missing out of them, of course. So it's stuff related to in that regard. And so that's why we encourage people not to leave valuable things in their cars, particularly visible.
The car closet used to happen. So we'd break in the window and grab, I guess it was electronics for a long, long time. Do those still happen or?
Oh, we're still having car closets, right.
Okay. Yeah. We just don't hear about them that much anymore.
No, because they're at the bottom of the list. There's so many more bigger crimes occurring, you know, like people getting shot. We had a woman shot over the weekend. In an alley up in my neighborhood, in fact, there in Henderson Center. It's what makes the news is what gets the attention right now.
Well, and our news seems to be more of a metropolitan flavor than one of a small little backwater. Most of this stuff drug-related?
Yes. I'd say you're looking at probably, you know, nationally, they talk about 85% of crimes are. It might even be higher in Eureka. It might be closer to 90%.
So it's not what we often hear about, or I guess romanticize, you know, the movies, you know, Godfather, things like that.
Yeah, and
the shoot 'em up, bang bang, blow
Robin
up.
Robin Hood, gonna give to the poor.
Yeah, but it's not that. No, it's drug on drug.
Right. Right. Oh yeah. You know, Eureka, when you look at, I hate to use the word normal, but when you look at people that
it's
have
a nice
job,
memory, man.
Yeah, right. People that, you know, live a life like we're familiar with from our era, have family and jobs and things like that, those people are safe today. It's other than, you know, maybe some property being ripped off or their car stolen, something like that. But, you know, having a gun pulled on them or shot or things like that is very rare. Usually when you're, I mean, we have a lot of those, but they're between druggie on druggie.
So it's just the wrong place, wrong time?
Yeah, right.
Where most of us have that kind of a personal risk?
Right.
So if you don't get stupid in public, 9 out of 10 times... You're going to be more worried about being pulled over for texting than you are about dodging bullets?
Exactly.
Oh, you like that bridge?
Yeah.
It's tough not to get sucked in with the negativism, though.
I know. And our officers, you know, I have to kind of preach to them all the time that don't worry about what happens at the other end. You continue doing your job and... Because we're doing our job, but we've overloaded the rest of the system.
KINS, News and Information Time.
Choosing new furniture for your home can be a challenge. Will the colors match? Will the fabrics go well? Will it be comfortable? And will it last? Solve these questions with a visit to Vern's Furniture. Vern's Furniture Consultants have the knowledge to put the right room together for you, whether it's the living room, bedroom, dining room, or laundry room. Vern's has what you're looking for. Free delivery and so much more. Vern's Furniture in downtown Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Eureka Police Chief Merle Harpham. Yeah, he's still here. What are you hearing about status on your employment situation, sir?
Well, it's not back to square one, but it's back a ways. They have a pool, and they'll dig into that pool, I guess, and take a look at somebody else.
So the fellow that was number one has opted not.
Right, he withdrew. Same thing happened last time.
Was there anything common between the two, the reasons why?
I don't think so. I don't know for sure, but yeah.
So who do you think a present company accepted is going to be stupid enough to take this job?
Well, you know,
or is it an opportunity to have some fun and to really have an impact? We look at the bad side, not the good side.
Right. Yeah, somebody is energetic and has lots of ideals and ideas. And because there's some things that could be done right now. We're so shorthanded that there isn't a lot we can do other than just try to keep people on the street.
Shorthanded because you don't have the resources to hire up new ones?
Well, we have seven vacant positions, officer positions, and we also have positions vacant in other areas also. In records, we've authorized to hire two more in dispatch. That's a very stressful area. And so we're having trouble keeping people. We had to pull the old town officer out of Old Town and put him on a beat, and we may have to do more of that the way things are looking. We got an officer off now on long-term disability, having his shoulder operated on, and one of the sergeants is off with the injury. So we're skating right now. We're still doing a good job. The guys that are out there are doing a good job.
But everybody's running 150 miles an hour.
Yes, they are. And they're, there's some that are frankly looking.
Is it because of the workload? Is it because of the pay? Is it because of the culture around here that they're having to deal with?
All of the above. We've lost over the years, in the last 15 years, we've lost 8 officers to Reading PD. We haven't gotten any from Reading PD. And every one of them say, when they get over there, they say, it's a much easier workload here. We hired 4 people from San Diego here a few years back. Not a one of them lasted 3 years. One of them came in, threw his badge on the desk, and said, no one should have to work this hard. I'm out of here. I'm going back to San Diego. And he left.
Now, that could be interpreted as San Diego's a cursed job.
And I don't know. Kind of cruise
versus somebody. You know, it's tough for anybody outside law enforcement to project in.
Yeah.
Because we don't deal with bullets. And we don't deal with segments of society that you guys do on a really regular basis. But as far as a regular workload and stress and things of that nature, a lot of guys have got tough workloads and stress, but that doesn't mean that they're running away. So I'm thinking it's more than workload that is the triggering thing.
Yeah, and also we're going to be losing an officer here to Humboldt State. And again, there's a place that we've lost a lot of officers over the year. In fact, the present chief is a former officer of ours. The lieutenant, second command over there, is a former officer of ours. And there's several in their patrol force that are former officers of ours.
How big is Humboldt's police department?
I off the top of my head, I couldn't tell you.
Sounds like you ticked off about twice as many as most of us would think would be there.
just guessing, probably 15, something like that.
Really?
Yeah. And we got, you know, and the, of course, that situation, they get, their family can go to school free. They get a good salary, much more than what Eureka can pay. And they get health care for the rest of their life. That is real big. I mean, we've had several leave just for that reason.
Sounds like they're swimming in a really deep trough, huh?
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:40. Now, we said this was going to be a fun show. We'll do our best to bring it up here when we come back.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon. It's 3:44. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Merle Harper. It's blue sky outside. That's good.
Yes.
Okay. Merle, with the situation that we're experiencing in our region, with all the stuff, with the criminal magnets that are here, would it be safe? Would it be wiser? Would it be more efficient for whoever follows in the hallowed footsteps? To say, you know, we're going to be a trainer force. We can't hold on to people that long. You got the compensation, like you were alluding, Humboldt State. You got Redding doing their stuff. You got all these other places that are either paying more with less workload or paying more with the same amount of workload or paying the same with less workload.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. So we'll be the first stop. And if we get 3 years with somebody, we win. And adjust the organization accordingly.
Well, we have quite a few long-term people. I mean, we have a lot of people.
I noticed.
And yeah, no, I don't. I'm not talking about myself. I mean, we have quite a few of the sergeants have been there for, you know, over 10 years. Just about all of them have been there over 10 years.
But if the officer level is a pretty high turnover compared to what you'd like and what the industry average is, why not go with it?
Yeah. Well, we have some of the officers are long term too. They're family people. Their families are here. You know, they're involved in the community. You know, working with kids and things like that. So, but we just have to accept the fact that, some cases we are a training ground for other agencies.
But if you have openings in dispatch, and in records, and some of the office positions, I guess would be kind of an umbrella. Is that speaking to the same dynamic that you're seeing with the officers, or is this something separate?
It's separate because they're easier to fill, particularly the records. When we advertise, we usually get a lot of people. When we advertise for a police officer, we don't get that many. You know, if we get 15, that's really hitting the ball out of the park. Fire, now they'll advertise and they'll get 200 for one position, and we'll get 15 for seven positions, you know. So, and we just we can't find good qualified people.
Is it true?
Looking past our background.
Is that true of other law enforcement agencies in the region also?
Yes, everybody's having problems finding qualified people.
So why isn't law enforcement more of the thing that I want to grow up to be when I'm a little guy?
Has that
changed, or is this a different, are the standards that much higher?
Yeah, well, no, I don't think the standards have changed that much, other than probably in some areas on the drug thing, they've relaxed on the marijuana issue, not hard drugs, but we're probably hiring people now that, you know, when they were teenagers, they experimented with pot. But at one time, it was no, period.
Kind of like the FBI? Yeah. You know, it's a black and white, yes, no, you're...
Yeah, and we have relaxed in that area, but the other areas, we still are going to maintain our standards.
If somebody is interested in a in a, and I'll say a career, not a yeah. job, in law enforcement, short of going through the academy process, which is a little bit more of a commitment,
yeah.
where do they find out what might be there or what isn't? I mean, can they pop into the office and talk to yeah. somebody, oh, yeah. or is Absolutely. It a shadowing thing? Or
Absolutely. We have, you know, we have a group of explorers now, and they're, some of them could be, you know, I don't know how many we have for sure, probably at least 10. And in the past, when we had the Explorer program, we recruited from that. In fact, a former chief in Fortuna started in our department as an explorer.
Oh, Kent?
Kent Bradshaw, yeah.
See and, what it did to him?
Yeah, made him chief, right? So, yeah, there's been, we've had quite a few come out of explorer groups.
But if somebody or someone's kid is interested or somebody that they yeah. know of, they can just come into the front office and be able to talk to somebody and get some information and kind of start the ball rolling.
Exactly. We do that. That happens on an occasional basis.
What's the number one thing you'd tell somebody who either had a kid or they themselves were young who was considering law enforcement?
Stay away from drugs. Don't allow peer pressure to drag you into something, you know, because we're going to look at your decisions you make in your lifetime. And if they're not good decisions, we're not going to mess with you. We're not going to spend the time because we have to put you through a extensive background, polygraph, psych, and medical after all the other things are done, after we contact all your neighbors and relatives and people you knew 10 years ago.
That might be kind of cool just to go through that process. I wonder who would remember me from 20 years ago. That'd be willing to share.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming by, Merle.
Okay.
I guess we'll see you next month, huh?
I don't know.
All right. We've been Talking Shop with Merle Harpham. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.